Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The South Dakota Supreme Court declared a judicial state of emergency on March 13th. Jails across the state have taken measures to reduce the daily population count in an effort to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus in high-risk environments. And in the midst of the pandemic, on April 17th, South Dakota Supreme Court Chief Justice David Gilbertson celebrated 25 years as Chief Justice, and he joins us now on the phone. Chief Justice Gilbertson, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
Sure.
We have been looking nationwide at problems in jails and prisons and what a high-risk environment it is, and I'm wondering if you could talk first about how the judicial state of emergency is impacting jail populations or prison populations in the state of South Dakota. What has sort of happened, because that state of emergency was early on, March 13th. A lot has changed between now and today, April 23rd, with the results of that those efforts. What can you tell us about that?
Well, every part of the state is different. We have seven judicial circuits, so what the Supreme Court did was basically authorize the presiding judge in each judicial circuit to manage their circuit in the way that he or she thought best. We still approve the overall actions, but we really have left the day-to-day decisions to the judges that are on the scene and can make that call. They've done a number of things. They have put off jury trials because you don't want a panel of 80 potential jurors coming in elbow to elbow. We have tried to put off other cases that you can put off. Obviously, if people are in jail, those hearings need to be held promptly. We're using some closed circuit television, we are fully operational statewide. Even though there's some variance between the judicial circuits, they're all operating. We have not shut down, and it's just maybe a matter of identifying our priorities and taking care of those of the highest priority first.
Yeah. So who makes decisions about jail populations? Help me find out the right person to talk to. Is it the warden? Is it the person who's in charge of the judicial district who's kind of making some changes?
The jail itself is in charge of the county sheriff. He determines that. But who goes to jail is probably a determination, if they've been to court, of the judge. Are they going to be bonded out? Are they going to be held in custody? Clearly, if they're sent to the penitentiary, then it becomes the decision of the warden. So there's several people that have a say in the mix.
Has there been guidance from the state Supreme Court to those different districts? Have they been asking specific questions? Tell me a little bit about how some of that communication is going.
Every action that is directive that is taken by a presiding judge for his or her judicial circuit has to be approved by me as the Chief Justice. They send me the proposal, I review it, I then approve it, and then it is implemented. And so it's all public record.
Yeah. And is it looking different to you based on, you know, where people are at and the outbreaks in their communities?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, if nothing else, the caseload, you have a huge caseload in Sioux Falls, just about as huge a one in Rapid City. Those present unique challenges simply because of the volume of people that need to come in and out of our court system. Other areas that are less populated, you don't have those kinds of same problems, but we still have to get judges into those rural areas and handle the cases there that need to be done. That's why we have basically allowed each presiding judge to make a lot of the decisions, because they're on the scene and they're best able to make the call.
Yeah. In 25 years as South Dakota's Chief Justice for the South Dakota State Supreme Court, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, never. No. I have not. Even as we started the year, nobody anticipated this. It just was thrust upon us very quickly. And there was no manual to really consult, so we just had to kind of do what we thought was best.
What's been the closest thing that you've been able to refer to? There wasn't a pandemic planning process. Are there other emergency planning processes or plans that were useful?
there was a pandemic process back, I think it was the bird flu or something when Governor Rounds was governor. There was a very extensive statewide plan made by state government. We participated in that plan at that time, and we kept all those records. And I happened to be the chief then, so I knew that this had all taken place. Pretty much everybody else is. We have new governors and new secretaries of the departments, but I guess I'm the holdover, and I remembered it as far as our needs, and I experienced it. I knew what we had planned at the time. So while we didn't anticipate COVID-19 coming, we had planned for pandemics.
How good did we do? How solid was that plan as you look at now that you've had to put it into action and then make adaptations for the current situation? How solid was that planning process?
It probably worked okay. We had, been educated as to what the likely effects of a pandemic would be, in not being able to have large groups in an area at a time, but still somehow managing to keep the courthouses open. You simply couldn't just lock them up. And so it was helpful training.
25 years, as you celebrated that on April 17th, how did you mark that day? Because it's difficult to sort of celebrate or mark anything of meaning right now as everything has been disrupted.
It was really, there was no celebration whatsoever. All I remember is when I walked to work, standing on the west side of the Capitol 25 years earlier and thinking, my God, what have I gotten myself into? And I just stood in the same spot and kind of smiled, thinking, well, that was a fast 25 years.
So what happens next in the transition, your transition to retirement, which is a mandatory transition, yes?
Right. Mandatorily retired, I think, January 4th of 2021. The court will select a new chief justice. The chief is elected by the members of the court, the five members, and then we'll begin a transition process where I try to share with my successor what I have learned on the job, because the vast majority of what I do is not written in a book. It's personal experience. And so try to share with whoever succeeds me, with how you deal with the legislature, the relations with the governor, how to oversee the operation of the unified judicial system, our court system, because we have nearly 600 employees. We have a $50 million budget. We run every courthouse in the state. And so try to just educate my successor on the fundamentals of what that person will involve themselves with when they take office, when I leave in January.
Yeah. Chief Justice Gilbertson, you have done, your career is extensive, and you've risen to a high level of leadership. You've seen multiple governors. You're widely read, and from our interviews in the past, you have a tendency to read books about history and leadership. And in your addresses to the state legislature, you often quote well-known leaders and with some surprising quotations as well. So I'm just wondering, as you look at the time that we're living in right now, what sort of insight do you have about how we're sending a message to South Dakotans about how we endure this together? What kind of leadership do we need? Talk a little bit to us about what you think how we should look at this time.
Well, both of my parents were raised during the Depression, and then both of them wound up in the military during World War II, and they told me of the challenges that were faced both during the Depression and during the war. And as I told a group when I was talking to them, if you go back to Franklin Roosevelt's first inaugural address in 1932, one-third of the nation's unemployed, he gets up and he says, all we have to fear is fear itself. In other words, if you maintain your common sense, your composure, do your best, things will work out. And I think if you look at what Tom Brokaw called the greatest generation, what they faced, what they overcame, they set the standard for us, and I think we can rise to it.
Chief Justice David Gilbertson, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being here. Congratulations, and thank you for 25 years as a Chief Justice, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Well, thank you. It's been a good run.